Second. Second. That's it. It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice to see you. Better. Yeah. It's all right?
Yeah.
All right, Rabotai, we're Erev Shabbat Kodesh.
Shabbat Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. So we're in the Parashiyot Vayakel Pekudeh. The second parasha, Ela Pekudeh HaMishkan. Mishkan HaEdut. So the Torah calls the Mishkan of testimony. What is the testimony? Mishkan Ha'edut, Rashi says, Edut LeYisrael, Sheviter Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Ma'aseh Ha'egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them for the sin of the Egel. Sheare Hishra Shechinato Benehem. Shechina came back down. So therefore, that's a proof that God must have forgiven them for Chetah Egel as a result of the destruction of the Mishkan. The pasuk says, "Ve'asuli Mikdash v'shachanti betocham." That by constructing the Mishkan, so that brought the Shekhinah down. Although we see that it wasn't actually the construction of the Mishkan that brought the Shekhinah, if we look in Parashat Shemini, we have a Chumash there. If you look in Parashat Shemini, it's over there in Perek Tet, in Pasuk Vav it says, ויאמר משה, זה הדבר אשר ציווה אדוני תעשו וירא אליכם כבוד אדוני. That this is what you have to do in order to see, and you'll have the vision and the appearance of the glory of God upon you. And what is that? ויאמר משה לארון, קרב על המזבח, ועשה את חטאתך ואת עולתך, וכפר בעדך ובעדם, ועשה קורבן העם. So you see over here that the glory of God only came down as a result of the bringing of the Korbanot. So make up your mind. Is it the building of the Mishkan or is it the Korbanot? From Shemini, it sounds like the Shekhinah didn't come down until they actually brought sacrifices. So what's the inyan? The Torah says, Va'asuli Mikdash. They made it. And God says, you made the Mishkan, that we read today, in the Pekudah Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'edut, that they were forgiven for the Chet Ha'egel. So the Tasha Rebbe has a fascinating piece on this inyan of the Mishkan and its relationship to Chet Ha'egel and inyan of the Korbanot. Last week in the Derash we talked at great length regarding the Shevirat Luchot, the breaking of the Luchot. After Chet Ha'egel, Ayin Sham. We read from the Pasuk Vahi Kaashir Karav El HaMachaneh, when Moshe Rabbeinu came close to the Machaneh, Vayar Et Ha'egel U'Mecholot, he saw the Egel, Vayashlech Miyadav Et HaLuchot, he threw from his hands the Luchot, Vayashaber Otam Tachat Ahar. So if you remember over there, there's a very, very important Rashi by Chet Ha'egel. The Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a kal vachomer. What was the kal vachomer he made? Rashi says, Amar, Uma Pesach, Shu Echad Min HaMitzvot, Pesach is only one of the 613 mitzvot. Amra Torah, the Torah said, Kol ben nechar lo yochalbo. That anybody that is ben nechar, that his actions are estranged from God, he cannot eat the Korban Pesach. Atorah kulakan. This is the whole Torah. Vechol Yisrael mishumadim. And all the Jewish people are mishumadim. Vetena lahem. That was his kavah homer. If Pesach is one of the Taryag mitzvot and Ben Nechar cannot eat it, that means Ben Nechar disqualifies Bnei Yisrael from Korban Pesach, which is just one of the mitzvah. I have the whole Torah in my hands now. So certainly they should be disqualified because they became Mishumadim, Na'avodah Zarah. That was his kavah homer. From the Torah itself, he learned that they cannot receive the Torah. If they cannot receive one law, if they worship Avodah Zarah, certainly they cannot receive all of the law. The only question is that Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems, was looking at the Jewish people as Mishumadim. Mishumadim means somebody that purposely forsakes God and worships Avodah Zarah. That was the basis of his whole kavah homer, that they went purposely to become Mishumadim. The question is, were the Jewish people committing the sin of the Egel on purpose? In previous classes, we learned from the Rishonim that if anything, it was a misunderstanding, it was a mistake, they were misled. We saw from the Ibn Ezra, we saw from the Kuzari, there's different opinions that all say that they thought Moshe Rabbeinu died, they wanted to replace Moshe, they didn't want to replace God. Kizeh Moshe Aish, Asher Elanu Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Mehayalo, they said we don't know where Moshe is, they didn't say we don't know where God is. They wanted a conduit, they wanted a replacement for Moshe, they felt that they cannot have a direct connection with God. The famous Shitot, the way to explain, some say it wasn't even Bnei Yisrael, it was the Erev Rav, and they got duped into it. Before you know it, it turned into a fiasco. But that wasn't their intention. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu come along and convince? Moshe Rabbeinu obviously knew the Kavanot of Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest prophet. So right away when he looks at it, he can assess the whole situation. And he comes along and says, what? Bnei Yisrael Mishumadim? If for one mitzvah mishumad is disqualified, kol haTorah kula po, so he disqualified them. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu convicting them for a more serious crime that they didn't commit? And then the question that we asked last week was that Moshe Rabbeinu throws the luchot down. What gives them a right to throw the luchot down? Return to sender. Like we said, if somebody's commissioned to deliver a letter and the recipient is not there, so you bring the letter back to the sender. And let's say the sender says, did you fulfill the mission? He says, no, he wasn't there. Good, where's my letter? I ripped it up. Ripped it up, it gives you a right to rip it up. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of returning the luchot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he breaks it. Ultimately, God tells him, Yishar Kochacha. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking when he broke the luchot? What was the kavanah?
It wasn't even his.
It was given to him.
Given to him to use.
It was given to him to use. Not too sure what these interruptions are helping the shiur exactly, but nonetheless, I'm sure somehow it's becoming clearer to our members because of these few statements that are being added to what I've been saying. If that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchot and he doesn't return them to God. What was the kavanah of Moshe Rabbeinu? And last week we explained in depth from the Gaon Vilna, we explained it very, very nicely what the kavanah of Moshe Rabbeinu was. When God went to give the Torah, as we know, he went to some other nations first. He went to Ishmael, Makatubo, Lotignov. That's their nature. He went to Esav, Makatubo, Lotritzah. He went to Amon and Moab, Makatubo, Lotinaf. So all the nations basically said, it's not for us to book. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Bnei Yisrael, and right away they accepted it sight unseen, Na'asev Nishma. Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'asev Nishma. Why weren't Bnei Yisrael concerned about the same concerns that the other nations had? The other nations had honest concerns. Hey, we're human beings. And you're asking us to do something that's against our nature. Bnei Yisrael also are human beings. They also have nature. But for some reason they felt that that nature is not going to be an impediment when it comes to keeping the Torah. So how did they accept it when they said Na'aseh v'nishma? So the explanation the Rebbe says is a very, very deep explanation. We cannot imagine the level that Bnei Yisrael were on when they got to Matan Torah on the 6th of Sivan. Human beings are made up of two parts. You're made up of the body and you're made up of a soul. The soul, of course, is a chelek eloka mima'a. The body is physical. And the body always serves as an impediment, as a barrier between the soul and God. Our whole fight is with the body. It's not with the soul. The soul is beautiful. All the struggle comes from the body trying to drag us towards our desires, kavod, and all other things. And this is the struggle that we all have. When Bnei Yisrael got to Matan Torah, it was after 7 weeks of intense avodah, intense work. For 49 days they were working on themselves to do what? To break the body. Or I should say better, to elevate the body, that the body does not become an interference. Imagine if I were to tell you that it's possible to turn your goof into a neshama. Rav Elimelech Milezinsk said to his students that I wish your neshama would be as holy as my goof. Which means he was able to mezakek his goof to the level where it was transparent. There was no shield. Those were the great tzaddikim. One of the great rabbis, when he would teach his students, he would say, "Oh, we welcome Rabbi Shimon and his friends." The students would be embarrassed. They said, "We don't see him." He said, "Because you have your physical body blocking. I don't have anything physically blocking me. Therefore, I'm able to see Rabbi Shimon coming to the shi'ur with his friends, with the haverim." So you see over here that it's the body, it's the goof that's be'ochrenu, that's our handicap. Adam Rishon, for example, it says Adam Rishon's goof was all neshama. It was all spiritual. So it is possible. It is possible. The great tzaddikim, they work on themselves with tremendous avodah, breaking themselves. Like the Ramban says, Tikkun ha-nefesh b'churban ha-guf. Tikkun ha-nefesh, the way we rectify the soul, is b'churban ha-guf, is by breaking the guf. You cannot have two kings in one territory. Trekale la mishtam'e, two voices cannot be heard. And therefore, the goof usually has a lot of voice than the neshama, so the goof usually overpowers. Neshama gets, silenced. But the tzaddikim, they would silence the goof to the extent where the roof was Kodesh. They understood. They didn't go after the physical pleasures, they didn't go after the physical desires. They didn't let kavod get to them. Kavod is the body. The people that go after the kavod, and they want glory, and they want respect, and they want credit, and they want, and they get involved in this all their lives. So that's it. They're drawn after their physical item. The tzaddikim, when that test would come to them, they would break their body and tell their body, don't start with that nonsense. Don't get me involved in that stuff. And every time they would overcome another temptation like that, their body would become one less level physical. And when they would go after the kavod and the desires and all that, their body would only become more body. And as a result, the neshama would become more recessed and more dim, more blocked. That's the way we do it. That's the secret. Bnei Yisrael, for 7 weeks, the weeks before Matan Torah, they worked on themselves to such a madrega that when they got to Har Sinai, the Gemara we learned in Shabbat Kuf Memvav says, Yisrael she'amdu al Har Sinai, paska zuhamatam. The zuhama that they had was paska. Zuhama is a certain type of contamination, a certain type of negative influence that we received from the Chet of Adam Rishon. And that's what causes the body to have a say. They reached a certain madriga that there was no more zuhama. Today he would say, you know, they were vaccinated when they came to Har Sinai. It was a 7-week process. And therefore there was no impediment, there was no separation anymore. Their goof became like a neshama. When your goof becomes a neshama, you get to see things that normally you can't see. All of a sudden they started to see the heavens, the 7 heavens open up in Har Sinai. They saw the Malachim, they saw Ma'aseh Merkabah, they saw tremendous revelations, things they never saw before. Those things that they saw were always in front of them. It's not that they just came in front of them. They were always there. They just couldn't see them. But now that their bodies became subjugated or subservient to the neshama, it doesn't interfere anymore. Now they're able to see with the eyes of the neshama. They can see from one end of the world to the other. Now they're able to perceive with the intellect of the neshama that can understand even the word of God directly. So this was a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment that Bnei Yisrael reached when they got to Har Sinai. Paska Zuhamatam. To the extent, as we know, that we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Ilu kerevanu lefnei Har Sinai, velo natananu et haTorah dayenu. If God would have brought us in front of Har Sinai and not give us the Torah, dayenu, we would be obliged to thank you. Why? What's the value of coming to Har Sinai without the Torah? And the explanation is because at Har Sinai something happened to us that was valuable. Paskazu amatam. And we probably could have figured out the Torah on our own. We didn't need to hear the Torah from God at that point. Already our bodies were so pure, it's like Adam and Rishon. You just know, like Avraham Avinu's body, you just know the right thing. You're naturally gravitated towards the right thing. God gave us the Torah so we could be mitzuveh ve'oseh. It's a higher level. But already at Har Sinai, we were already naturally conditioned or programmed to have our attraction towards the Torah. Paskazu amatam. So therefore, it's true. We knew that we all have nature. And a lot of the Torah rules are against our nature. So that's what Ishmael said, hey, we're human beings. You know, we're human beings. We're only human beings. One time I was in the airport, we were going to Egypt. It was TWA. I'm in Hava Shalom, TWA. And we were in Kennedy Airport, and it's direct flight, Kennedy to Cairo. And the flight was delayed. And then they delayed it again. And they delayed it again, and they said, well, the plane is missing a piece, and we got to get the piece from Philadelphia. So we're waiting for the guy to drive to Philadelphia, bring the piece back. Then we have to wait for maintenance to put the piece in the plane the whole night. So the Arabs are there. Who's going to Egypt? So they come along, and one of the guys goes to the agent at the Tita Bereda and says, "Hey, listen, you know what's going to be over here? We got to take over, sir. Listen, there's a delay. Hey, listen, there's been delays here 3-4 hours." Says, "You know, if we don't take off in the next hour, we're going to start lifting these chairs and throw them out the window and break the glass of this airport. After all, we're only human beings." Which means the guy say, "Hey, listen, we're human beings. You can't expect us not to start, you know, wrecking this airport. You know, if you don't do something over there, and you can't blame us. You know, we're human beings." And that's what he's saying. And that's what the Arabs told God: "Hey, we're human beings. Don't tell us not to know. You know, if you're going to give us these laws over here, we're not going to be able to fulfill it." And Esav said the same thing with the Tzah. And Amon and Moab said the same thing by Lot and Av. So what happened to the Jews? At that moment when God came to them, they had no teva anymore. It was Pascha Zuhamatam. They had no interference. They didn't feel any teva. So when God says, Lot Tignov, it's Lot Tignov. Lot Tignov is if you have a goof. Lot and Av is if you have a goof. But already at that moment over there, the goof was so elevated that it didn't even enter their minds that these things would be a challenge for them. That's why God says, "Wow, Nasev Nishma, Migila Razele Banai." Who revealed this secret? Angels talk like this, Nasev Nishma, but humans. And the explanation is because angels are not impeded by any goof. The angels are all spiritual. It's just a neshama, a spiritual entity. So God said, "Wow, Migila Razele Banai." The Jewish people are, you know, I've reached this level of Raz. Raz is 207, which is the same gematria as the word Or. At that point, the Jewish people were just Or. There was no Hoshech, there was no body. So God said, Migila Raz. They have this Or over here that's shining bright, brightly. This was the Inyan of B'nai Yisrael saying, Na'aseh v'nishma. If that's the case, Borei Olam said, Jews on such a level deserve a special gift.
A dispensation,
special gift. And that gift is called Luchot Rishonot. Luchot Rishonot signify the level that B'nai Yisrael were on. You get what you deserve. What was so special about Luchot Rishonot? Luchot Rishonot, as we learned this week in the Shi'ur in the Pirkei Avot, those that listen to it, in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avot, it tells us that the Luchot were actually created on Friday afternoon, Ben Hashem Ashot. And the Bartanuna says that the Luchot were created not from earthly material. It was a stone that was hewn from the sun itself. You cannot get any shiny stones from the sun. You have no access to it. You go to a quarry, you go to a cave, you go to a mountain, and you chisel out some stone. But the Bartanura on the Mishnah over there says, from the Shemesh itself, it was made in heaven. The stones were the source of ultimate light. Shemesh is the light. That's the source of light. The stones were made from the sun itself. Veluchot ma'aseh Elohim hema. The Luchot itself was made by God. And the Mikhtav also, and the writing was also from God. The second Luchot did not enjoy that same status. The second Luchot, they were synthetic. The second Luchot were made on earth. God told Moshe, Pesod Lecha. Yeah, write the same things that I wrote on the first ones, write on the second ones, but the Luchot themselves were, they were physical. It comes out, says the Rebbe, Tasha Rebbe, that is, Alav HaShalom, that the Luchot Nishonot symbolized the level of the Jewish people. The Luchot was actually Neshama on a Neshama. The words of the Luchot, which was a Neshama, was on the stone, which was also a Neshama. The physical part of the Luchot, Rishonot, were spiritual, which signified the level the Jewish people were on. A Jewish people that their goof, sublime to spiritual, deserves Luchot, that the Luchot themselves are spiritual. Normally, if I would tell you, you have Luchot, tell me the physical part of the Luchot, the stone. Tell me the spiritual part, the writing. In Luchot Rishonot, there's no physical part. That's why, as you know, if you take a regular stone and you chisel it, so you cannot read it from both sides. But Luchot Rishonot, all these miracles were happening. Because they themselves were spiritual. It wasn't a regular stone. You could chisel it through and through, you could read it on both sides. Mem v'samich shibin Luchot benetzayu omdim. It was on all the sides. Miraculous. Didn't have any weight. The stone themselves had a din of Ruchaniyut. God said they earned it. So let the stones be a testimony to the Madrega. That means we arouse the heavens based on the level that we attain. So since we attain the level of En Guf Rak Neshama, so God sent us the first Luchot, which is En Guf Rak Neshama. That was the symbol of the first Luchot, Rabotai. If that's the case, we have a big incrimination here. How do the Jews worship the Egel? How is it possible for them to worship the Egel? They want such a madrega. Why does God consider us sometimes shogeg and exempt us and sometimes give us a clemency for our deeds? That's only because we have the alibi to say, hey, listen, the body, God, you gave us the body. The body's in the way. Well, say, okay, you're right, the body's in the way. But what excuse did the Jewish people have in that time? There was no body. You can't blame it on the body. You can't say, listen, the goof is tug of war. You know, you can't always win. They pulled us. At that point, B'nai Israel, they don't have an alibi. They don't have an excuse. And if you're representing God, listen, normally we let the plaintiff off because he comes and claims temporary insanity, temporary goof. But you can't claim temporary insanity. You didn't have a goof. Therefore, anything B'nai Yisrael would do at that moment would be considered mezid. It's mezid. Let me explain it. How could you take the neshama unless you willfully did it? Listen, don't put it past the Satan. Satan used all his tricks. Satan went out of his way to create tremendous kitrug. And he was able to even get us at the time of tremendous levels that we were on to do what we did. I mean, Satan just showed you. Even at that stage, you think maybe the Satan would say, listen, they're inapproachable. It's not so. Even at that stage, the Satan, he waged war against us. Says the Rebbe something incredible. You know, we have a rule. En kategor na'asa sanigor. You know, you can't have the kategor. You don't want the prosecuting. We don't like the prosecution. We don't want the prosecution. Understand? We don't want the prosecution. The Kohen Gadol, when he goes to the Holy of Holies on Kippur, he doesn't wear the big dezahav. Why? The Kohen Gadol is going to defend us. He cannot go in with clothes that are going to prosecute us. The big dezahav remind God of Chetah Egel. Grant him? And Kaptikon Nasa Sanigor. Moshe Rabbeinu made a hashbon. Moshe Rabbeinu said that if the Luchot are going to remain in heaven, that's going to be a permanent kategor in front of God. That look at the Jewish people. They were deserving these Luchot because their bodies were like soul, and therefore it's going to be considered that they were did it on purpose, and they're considered guilty b'mezid, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, I have to get these luchot away from the judgments, from the dinim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with God, like it says, v'etfos, he had to grab the luchot from God. There was a battle. God said, no, bring them in. God said, no, if these are going to stay in heaven, God's going to remember the level that we were on, that we earned luchot nishonot. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Gemara says, grabbed the Luchot. And God said, Hanihali, leave me alone, Bakaleotam. They are Mezid. Should have been who said, grab the Luchot, and he threw them down. By throwing them down, he got rid of the Kategor, it's on earth. Broken Luchot, finished. He got rid of the Luchot on earth. Once they were broken on earth, already he removed the, and now he could go along and claim they were shogeg still. Even with all that, they're shogeg. So that's what Rashi means when Rashi says that he threw the luchot. Amar, ma Pesach shu echad min ha-mitzvot. If Pesach is just one of the mitzvot, amra Torah kol ben nechal lo yochal bo. Ha-Torah kula kan. V'chol Yisrael meshumadim. At this point, kol Yisrael are meshumadim. It's purpose. They're doing it on purpose. Kol Yisrael meshumadim. So therefore, what did he do? Vayashlech miyado. Once he was vayashlech miyado, that already takes away a claim that they're meshumadim. Because if the luchot would go up, there would be a great prosecution against Klal Yisrael. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. What? If I let the luchot go back up, this is one of the mitzvot, the hayab. Why is it mishumadim? I thought they had good excuses. Yeah, but they're all neshama, there's no excuses. By taking the luchot away, kivyachol, it minimizes the dinim against Bnei Yisrael. The luchot are not standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The luchot are shivrei luchot on earth. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can come along and say, there's no luchot now. There's no luchot. We got rid of the luchot. We got rid of the luchot. There's no luchot. The second luchot we're given. And what's the second luchot? The second luchot is our level again. The stone is body, and the writing is soul. If we would have got the first luchot, the Zohar HaKadosh says, we never would have sinned again. We never would have. If we would have gotten those luchot, if they would have came down to us, what the luchot symbolized would have been. But they broke. Should have been broke them for our benefit. So the breaking of the luchot actually takes off the claim from us. That's Moshe Rabbeinu saving the day for us. If he didn't break them, then it would have been Meshubadim. If he didn't break them, then Borel is going to say, look at this, I have the luchot over here. Look at these luchot. These luchot tell me what they were. And they still made the sin? Hayab. Should get these luchot away from the judge. We don't have to look at these things. Exactly, incriminating evidence.
Smoking
gun. Incriminating evidence against us. Throw it away. Wow. Get rid of it. So Shavuot Luchot actually saved us. I asked a simple question of Botai, and now based on today's Dirash, I will give a simple answer. So we don't want to remind God of Chet HaEgel. So we tell the Kohen Gadol, you know, when you go into the Holy of Holies, When you go into the Holy of Holies, don't wear the gold clothes, because the gold is going to remind God of the Chet HaEgel. Beautiful. So he goes to the Kodesh Kodashim, and he goes in between the cherubs. That's where the Shekhinah is. And it's over there, brings the Ketoret. The cherubs are over what? The Aron. Beautiful. And what's in the Aron? Shevrei Lo'ot. What happened to Inka Tigon, Azaza Nigon? You worried about the gold clothes? The broken tablets. That's much more incriminating than the gold clothes. The tablets are the broken tablets. If anything's going to remind God, the broken tablets. So how do we allow the broken tablets to remain in the Kodesh Kodashim? And nobody's worried about En Ketigor Na'asa Sanigor. But based on what the Rebbe said here, we understand it. Because Adrabah, the fact that the broken Luchot are with us, and the main Luchot that were whole, that gives us a claim to say, Shogeg, that becomes a mitigating factor. That's what the Kohen can go into the Kodesh Kodashim. He can say, listen, the broken Luchot, the Luchot are not by you, God. The Luchot are by us. We broke them. There's no more Ketigot, Na'asasenigot over here. Now, B'nai Yisrael, what should we do? The Yisrael got them. Their body got in the way. The broken Luchot, Adrabah. The fact that Luchot were broken becomes an alibi for us. That we can come along and say those luchot that we can be, don't exist. That entity called a luchot that's neshama and neshama doesn't exist anymore. It's not in front of the court anymore. Therefore, the shivrei luchot take away that claim. So it's not a ketigon nasa sanigor. Adrabah, it's a sanigor nasa sanigor. It's a defense that becomes a defense. And the lesson, obviously, for us. The lesson for us is, from all this talk, when they built the Mishkan, God says the purpose of the Mishkan is to atone for Chet HaEgel. Ve'asudi Mikdash. But when did the Shekhinah come back down? Shekhinah comes back down to their bodies. Ve'asudi Mikdash ve'shakati betocham. The Shekhinah is always with us. We have Neshama. No, B'Shekhati B'Tokah, meaning their physical is going to have the Shekhinah. When did that happen? At the time of the Mishkan. At which part of the Mishkan? Not at the building. When they brought the Korbanot. Well, what's the sword of the Korbanot? What is the Inyan of the Korban? The Korban is Inyan is you go and you burn the physical part of the animal. There's a certain koach in the Korban that a person comes along and says, my physical body got in the way. And therefore we take the animal. We don't take the soul. The soul is perfect. So if we had to, we would burn the guy's body. The problem is when you burn his body, he's dead. So we try to find an animal. But the Ramban says, you got to imagine whatever's happening to animals should be happening to you because you're the animal. Adam u'behemato shi'a Hashem. And therefore we take the animal and put on the Mizbeach. Once already we inaugurated the Mishkan with animals, basically what were we saying? Maybe we didn't get to the level of Paskal Zohar Matam, but now we're back to a certain Madrega where we know that it's the animal. We got to get rid of the animal. And we burnt Korbanot. At that point, what does it say? V'yira Kivod Hashem. The Kivod Hashem came down. It wasn't a complete Paskal Zohar Matam, but Ele Pekudei Mishkan Mishkan Ha'edut. The Rashi says, Edut Shevitel Lahem Al Ma'aseh HaEgel. But I was okay. Ma'aseh HaEgel, the height was what? That you lost your Madrega. Okay, albeit we can blame it on the Satan. We're going to consider the Shogeg. Moshe Rabbeinu saved you. But if you want the Shekhinah to come back down again, bring the Korbanot. Today we don't have Korbanot. What's the Korban of today? The Mesirut Nefesh. Today you have to put your desires on the Mizbeah. Everybody has cravings. Everybody has, certain things that he's drawn towards. Weaknesses, handicaps. So the job is not to just always listen to the body. Then you're a follower. the body has you on a string. Whatever he tells you, jump, you jump. Speak Lashon Hara, he wears Hara. Go after Kavod, go after Kavod. He's controlling you. And you have no say in the matter. You have to take back yourself, take back your own independence. And when the body tries to draw you towards these negative things, you have to tell him, hey, listen, stop the nonsense. And you break him down. That takes years and years of work to break the body down. The body is a king. But ultimately, like Rabbi Elazar Zin said, he said, I wish your neshama would be as holy as my body. My body already is, there's no body, there's nothing there. So it's all soul. And that's possible to do. B'nai said that in Har Sinai. And we did it again at the Mishkan to a certain degree. And the Tzaddikim in the later generations were still able to do it. They were able to, the Baba Sali was able to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world with his eyes. And he was living in our time. And he had the special kohot. What was that from? Because they didn't go after their body. Tikkun ha-nefesh b'churban ha-guf. Churban ha-guf b'tikkun ha-nefesh. Or churban ha-nefesh b'tikkun ha-guf. The destruction of the soul is b'tikkun ha-guf. And that's the great lesson that we learned today from the parasha. Now we come to the inyanim of the Pesach, which we have over here. The inyan of the Pesach is really the inyan of breaking the physical desires. Although today, the Pesach, with all the different foods that they have now available, so really it's not such a mesirut nefesh. It's a mesirut nefesh after Pesach. When we have to go back to the regular food,
right.
So we say, hey, we wish it was Pesach all year long. We don't get this good stuff all year long. They only have it for a couple of weeks a year. Yeah. But that's unfortunate. You know, the Mishnah says in Zevachim, a Pesach eno ne'echal. When the Torah talks about Pesach, the Mishnah says, a Pesach eno ne'echal. Meaning, what's the law of Pesach? Eno ne'echal. You don't eat. But what? Today, a Pesach ne'echal. That's all it is. Ne'echal ve'ne'echal. I'm not getting it's eating. But part of the Hag is to break the... Zeman Chedutenu means to free yourself from the shackles of the body. Not Chedutenu meaning just to become a free man, to run in the streets, screaming freedom. That's not freedom, that's animal, that's Hefkerut. Chedutenu means to release yourself from the bind that the body has on you. The body has you in a hold. Pesach comes along and says, you can become released. And then your true self will shine, which is the neshama. It's interesting that the numerical value of the word malach is exactly the numerical value of the word ma'achal. For simple reason, they're exactly the same letters. Malach and ma'achal. Which would be strange, these are the two polar opposites. Malach represents the epitome of spirituality, and ma'achal, and that's what the Chachamim are giving us at Emes, that the way that a person reaches the level of malach is via ma'achal, which means the ta'avot. You cannot be a malach, you cannot strive for the spiritual level if you're still going to be involved in your... You know, when the guy sitting in the restaurant tells the waiter, you know, I ordered it medium well, it came back. That guy's far away from, you're making a fuss out of this over here, just eat the steak and keep quiet. You're lucky we're letting you eat the steak in the first place. Now you're going to make a whole to-do on it? Hanach le'oraita, use your strength for Torah, not for arguing with a waiter to take it back. Gary will tell you all the people that, I heard one time a guy called, he was going to kill the guy because he stopped making a certain sauce. The guy said, please, Gary, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, please, please, deliver me the sauce, please, I've come no closer. I said, he's pranking you. He's not pranking. The guy's begging him, please, bring me the sauce, I can't, I'll come now, I'll pay you any amount of money. again, it's not kind of sauce, the chimichurri, whatever it was. Not, what kind of sauce could it be? What could it be? What kind of sauce do you think it is? What could it be? What kind of sauce is it? Sauce tassis. The point is, so a guy like that, how could you have spirituality? But everybody has their items. This time of year is the time of year that we break ourselves. We get rid of all the hametz, which is the representative of the Yetzer Hara, which is the representative of the goof. That's the representative of the goof in this. And that's a very, very, very important. That's the whole inyan of the bi'ur hametz. And we destroy the hametz and we get rid of it. We get rid of the hametz through bi'ur hametz, through bitul hametz. These are all physical rituals, but they represent a nullification. It's like we're telling the Yetzer Hara, you batel, umbutal. That's what you're really talking to. You're talking to the hametz that's within you, and you're basically saying you're a zero, you're nothing. At least you're giving... that's something. At least you're giving your opinion to it. At least you're nullifying it. At least you're saying, at least I know you're a nothing. Now, hopefully, over the Avodah of Pesach, which is considered an Avodah, Va'avatat Avodah Zot B'Hodesh Hazeh, it's Avodah. Tremendous Avodah. To become free is Avodah. It's not a... People think that freedom is something that's... It's a passive. It's not. It's Avodah to become free. As somebody that's addicted, he'll tell you how much Avodah it is to become clean. He has to go for many, many months to fight himself for many years. Like Rabbi Twersky, Alav Shalom, once said that a person who's in recovery is in recovery till the day he died. And then on the tombstone they say, here lies a recovered man. Only when he's dead he was recovered. Because until then, the Yetzer Hara is going to catch him to the last day. So therefore it's avodah to become free. It's easy to become free. All the more so when it comes to these inyanim. So that's when the Jewish people came to God and said, Da'aseh v'nishmah. At that point the angels came along and they put crowns on us. Because they said, you're like angels. And once we did chayta egel, says the angels came back and said, give us back your crown, we'll take it back. You're physical, you're not like us. You lost the raz. You lost the or. Therefore they reclaimed back the ketarim that were on our heads. Although, Arizal said that on Shabbat, we get the ketarim back. We get a certain, upgrade of the ketarim that we had at Har Sinai, which is, the Shabbat is in Yan of, returning back to the olam neshamot, to the olam, the spiritual world, moving away from the physical world. So that is the lesson. The Mishkan did mitaken chayta egel. Through the avodah of the korbanot, through the nullification of the body, and Pesach does the same thing. And I remind you that the Mishkan was inaugurated on Chodesh Nisan. It seems that that's the month that we make this rectification. That just like the Mishkan was inaugurated on Chodesh Nisan, which will be Sunday, Bezat Hashem. Ukam Mishkan. Ukam is the same otiyot mikveh. The Mishkan was like a mikveh in the sense that it purified the body to a certain degree, and therefore we're able to serve God naturally. And that's what the inyan of all the service of Chodesh Nisan is. From the beginning of the month until the end, every day has its own avodah, has its own inyan. And we have to be zariz, not to come along now. Here's a great opportunity. If you follow Nisan correctly, you'll come out, much more spiritual person. But if you come along, all these mitzvot is avodah. To eat the matzah is avodah. To stay up late is avodah. To be the haggadah is avodah. But know that avodah pays off. It's like somebody that's working out for the Olympics. It's avodah. But at the end he gets the gold. It's, all that work was worth it. The same thing. You're not going through 30 days of rigorous work. The cleaning of the house, the preparing, the matzah, all the avodah that we have in order to get to the, and then to do them, to perform them, and then to be careful of what we're eating on the holiday, but the value will be great. You come out of Pesach, And now already the body was minimized. Not only, listen, you might gain some weight, but I'm not talking about the physical. The spiritual zuhama already is mitigated. Yiratzom, we should be zocher to these levels, and ultimately Borei Olam will forgive us completely for the Chetah Egel, and then we'll go back to the level of Adam Rishon Kodem Acher, like it says that they reached out Sinai, Paska Zuhamatam, the Merav Yamenu. רבי חנניה, ואין הקשה אומר, עשה ברוך הוא זכות ישראל. לפיכה קרבה להם, צריך לעשות שלהם, אני חפש עם עשית כה, זה תורה וידיר.
If they were one, the physical and the, so then how did they form? He's good.
So Tom went to the Erev Rav. He went to
backtrack.
Al Adam Rishon.
Right. Oh yeah. That's, he was completely right. Right.
But that's already a mizik. No excuse. If I'm going to leave them the one by God, this could just remind God of what they were. The Nuhot represent neshama, neshama. Get at him. Put him on earth. Put him on earth. Get rid of them. Get rid of the evidence. Get rid of the evidence. Get rid of the evidence.
Same.
What time after
that?
Zabaro.
Everything good?
Zabaro.
Thank you.
What time after that?
4:30.
Time for work. Time for work. I love it.